Dear brothers and sisters, some people enjoy great wealth inherited from their parents, and others are envious of those living in wealth. Having been saved by the Lord's precious blood and called as citizens of heaven, we have no need to envy. This is because we have received the right to enter heaven, which is incomparable to this world. No matter, you know, how rich or wealthy your parents are, it doesn't mean that you'll enter heaven. Doesn't mean that you'll ever enter heaven with the amount of education that you have. But if your parents can lead you to heaven, that would be a grace that you wouldn't be able to repay. Of course, you know, parents cannot give their children the right to receive salvation. Everyone has their own right. Everyone needs to have their own right and put in the effort themselves. However, you know, parents can help their children lead the way to salvation and have the hope of heaven. And that is happiness. There's nothing more happier or joyful than receiving the help or to be led to the path of salvation, no matter whether you've lived on earth without as much wealth as other people. And no matter how much, you know, power, wealth your parents have, the blessing is to receive salvation. We've also been granted the right to become children of God. The wealth of the richest person in the world is nothing compared to the riches God possesses. All creation belongs to God our Father. God is not only Lord of this physical world, but Lord of the vast spiritual realm. It's important to realize that God has appointed us as heirs. But due to the sin of Adam and Eve, this right was lost. We became slaves to the enemy devil instead of staying as God's children. Our loving Father God sacrificed His only begotten Son, Jesus, to reclaim us from the enemy devil and Satan. When we were born, you know, we could have had the right as God's children and then, you know, have the enemy devil take away our right as God's children. However, right now, in our lives, we were born under the rule, under the control of the enemy, devil, and Satan. So now we need to find and earn the right to be children of God. But originally, God made mankind to be born with the authority of being God's children. But when Adam and Eve sinned, they lost the right. We lost the right as God's children. So we need to find and reclaim this right as God's children. We were redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord, making us heirs to God's inheritance. So through the precious blood of the Lord, we were able to have the right to reclaim our inheritance. Galatians 4 verses 6 and 7, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. What is the inheritance of God? It's the kingdom of God, the eternal heaven. But for us to inherit, we must first undergo lessons as heirs. Worldly companies require the heirs or successors to go through a period of training by assigning specific tasks and responsibilities to be equipped with management abilities. Similarly, God has also given us the task of cultivating the field of our hearts. If we faithfully carry out this task, we can inherit the kingdom of heaven and dwell in eternal glory. We can live with authority and dominion as children of God, even on earth. Worldly inheritance is limited in opportunity, duration, and amount, but the inheritance called heaven is limitless. Anyone can receive it if you meet the requirements. As the Holy Spirit is with us to help, anyone can cultivate their heart and become qualified. Through today's message, may you have even greater hope and work to turn your heart into good soil. I pray in the name of the Lord that you can transform your heart into good soil and become, you know, and have the right as children of God. The more you turn your heart into good soil, the more you turn your heart into truth, the more you receive the authority to become a child of God. This is cultivating your heart field. So the more you cultivate the heart field, the more the authority that you receive as a child of God. And of course, the more you do that, the more rewards and the more, you know, grace that you receive in heaven differs. And I hope that you'll receive New Jerusalem that's full of radiant glory as your inheritance. We looked at the characteristics of the rocky ground. Seeds sown on rocky ground may sprout, but the roots cannot go deep because the soil is shallow and there's no depth. So when the sun rises, the sprouts quickly wither. This represents a heart that hears the word, understands it, and even receives grace, but falls into temptation and stumbles when faced with trials. These trials and tribulations or persecution, they're not just difficulties within the Christian life. No, sometimes we've got persecutions as a Christian. And sometimes we've got persecutions from the world as well in order to, you know, overcome the world and live according to God's word. You know, there are some difficulties. Sometimes, you know, we're at a measure of faith where it's still quite new or we lack a bigger faith and we find it difficult to live normally by trying to abide by God's word. The more you have untruth in your heart, the more difficult it feels to live according to God's word. So even though you listen to God's word or you receive grace from God, it's not always easy to live accordingly and get rid of the world. Even if you receive grace, so sometimes despite receiving grace one day, you could lose it straight away because the more untruth you have in the heart, the more difficult it is to live according to the word of God. This is the state of having a knowledge-based faith rather than a spiritual faith. There's no accompanying action with the word. Stones represent a heart that loves the world. Stones refer to untruths that prevent us from believing in and loving God. Focusing on untruths firmly embedded like rocks and hindering the word from taking root. So it's important to identify the nature of these untruths, the stones in your heart, and break and remove them. So when we have the Holy Communion, we always preach and let our members know about how to drink the blood of Jesus Christ and how to eat the flesh of Jesus Christ. And we always do this every single Holy Communion because it's just like in the Bible when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about eating and drinking the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. So through this method, they can, you know, our Christians can renew their faith. And by drinking the grape wine and the bread, you know, it's different by just knowing it in your head and embedding that spiritual meaning within your heart and how long that spiritual meaning stays in your heart. Like, does it disappear straight away or does it get embedded? And when you embed the true spiritual meaning in your heart, that would become your good soil. And in order for that good soil to happen, you need to get rid of the stones in your heart, the untruth. And to get rid of the stones and the untruth in your heart, then you need to have action that accompanies the word. So no matter how much you listen to the word, no matter, you know, how much you read the word or how much grace you receive, if you don't have accompanying actions with God's word that you've listened to, then nothing will happen. So you need to think about your stones in your heart, how greedy, you know, the greedy stones, the sinful stones, and get rid of them. God's word, God did not give us His word, His gospel, to make our lives difficult. God gave us His words that we could become blessed children, so that we can be transformed and we can be glorified and we can be holy. But why do we feel it's difficult to live according to God's word? It's because we have stones. We have the stones of untruth. We have the stones that love the world, that don't want to be transformed, that don't want to put in the effort to become holy or sanctified. So, and everyone has different stones. No one has the exact same stones. And we need to look back on our own selves and break the stones of untruth in the heart. And some of them can be bigger stones than others. So the condition of a heart, of a rocky heart, varies depending on how large the stones of untruth or how deeply they're embedded. For example, some people turn away from God and return to the world even after experiencing grace. Some Christians attend church but don't cultivate the field of their hearts. Some only have parts of their heart as rocky ground and bear fruit in certain areas but none in others. When some fruits start to appear, they may neglect cultivation and ignore the pile of stones still in their hearts. Because of this, sanctification and a spiritual heart is a distance away, so it becomes difficult to maintain fullness and grace previously received. It's important to not stop finding and clearing the stones in your heart. You need to find those stones. And even though you're full of the Holy Spirit, or you have communication with the Holy Spirit, when you do have that, you can cultivate the heart field easier. But some people, it's hard to cultivate the heart field without the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And some people, they receive fullness of the Holy Spirit, but then stop cultivating their heart field halfway. So you need to look back on yourself. If you've stopped cultivating your heart field, look back on your personality, look back at your characteristics, and look at why you've stopped. Have you fervently prayed without ceasing? Or have you found it difficult to pray? Some people have asked, until when do I need to pray? Until when do I need to get rid of sin? Until when do I need to live a Christian life? Until when, you ask? Until the Lord returns. Then some people ask, until when can we rest then? When can we receive rest? When can you receive rest? When you enter heaven. You can rest forever. And there is rest in the Lord. When you get rid of your sin, when you overcome, you know, your worldly difficulties and the sinful attributes, then God gives you rest. God gives you peace. Have a think about it. 365 days in the year, you know, minus your sleeping hours, doesn't mean that you live solely for the Lord, for God. You know, you go to work, you eat delicious food, you go out sometimes, you know, you go out and meet friends. If you think about it, you literally, you know, you come to church every now and then, once a week at least, and then you've got Daniel prayer meeting every night, mostly. It's only 2 hours. And, you know, there are people that listen to sermons on their phones. They might volunteer, but not everyone does that. You've got time that you spend with family, with friends. Now you go on holidays, staycations. So if you really think about it, in 365 days, how much time do you really devote yourselves to God? If you think about the ratio, then you might realize that the amount of time that you actually devote yourself to God, the time that you devote yourself into cultivating your heart field and sanctifying your heart, might not be as much. So if you stop halfway and ask, you know, when do I have to cultivate my heart until, or when do I stop being sanctified? When can I rest? When can I, you know, just go out and have fun? You know, but what about the blessings received when you don't stop sanctifying your heart and don't stop cultivating your heart and you put in the energy, put in the effort to God, to being transformed as God's true child? How much rewards and grace and you know, wonderfulness would you receive in heaven? Don't stop cultivating your heart field. Because when you cultivate your heart field but then stop, you don't know when trash will come in. You don't know when dirt will come in. You don't know when weeds will start growing. So you don't know, you know, from where or when, you know, these thorns will start flying into your heart. So you must not stop. And this is the influence of the enemy devil and Satan that's trying to make you stop halfway. So we must not stop. So how can you cultivate a rocky heart? First, you must diligently act according to the word. The rocky heart, one of the main attributes of a rocky heart is having no action with the word. You receive the grace and you think to yourself, yeah, look, I can do this. I'll have a go. But in the end, there's no actions that follow. So when you get rid of, when you try and get rid of the stones, you need to put in the action first. You must diligently act. It's important to earnestly obey the commands of do, keep, do not, and cast off. Reading, hearing, and learning the word is foundational. But what's truly important is putting into practice what you've seen, heard, and learned. Emphasizing on action is not over the top. Within the four commands of do, keep, do not, and cast off, acting according to the commands of do not and cast off corresponds to the work of cultivating the heart field. Obeying the commands do and keep corresponds to the work of sowing seeds. So you might wonder, do I need to start sowing even though I haven't finished cultivating? Or do I need to not sow because I haven't finished cultivating? You must sow along with cultivating. Do and keep is sowing the seeds. And then do not and cast off is cultivating the heart field. You must do the do, the keep, the do not, and the cast off together. So that's cultivating the heart field and sowing the seeds together. So if you think about farmers, even though the farmer might not have cultivated the heart field 100%, they still sow the seeds. And then as they sow the seeds, they cultivate the heart field. So if you've got a lot of fields, then you might cultivate, you know, a part of it, sow the seeds, and then keep moving on. Cultivate, sow the seeds. You need to do it together. We must cultivate the field while sowing seeds at the same time. The work of sowing with cultivation helps complete cultivation more quickly. When you strive to obey the commands do and keep, you start to recognize the untruthful stones in your heart. You come to understand the kind of stones that block the sprout of the word from taking root in the heart. This helps identify the specific elements that hinder you from living according to the word. To do and keep, you know, you realize when you start doing and when you start keeping the word, the opposite of don't do and cast off, it flourishes before your eyes and you can see it more clearly. So you can get rid of those stones. So when you sow the seeds, you're able to find those stones of untruth and get rid of it. So, you know, it helps identify the specific elements. So when you discover the untruths in your heart through reading, hearing, learning the word and prayer, and the untruths are more revealed when you put the word into practice. So when you use the word and pray with it, you can realize that, you know, certain aspects, certain elements are sin or evil. So through that, when you abide by God's word and try to live according to God's word, then, you know, as soon as you start praying and praying and praying and putting the action to abide by God's word, then that area of untruth starts to become more visible. It's almost like an ice cube rising. You know, at first you only see the top. You only see some part of the untruth, but as you keep acting according to God's word and do and keep, then you end up seeing the bottom part of the iceberg. It becomes visible. So when you get rid of the stones of untruth that's deeply embedded in the heart, that's when you start getting rid of the don't do and the cast offs. For example, a Christian hears about the beauty of heaven and learns that to enter a more glorious heaven, they must take on a mission and have devotion to saving souls. So this Christian begins to sow and cultivate the seeds of commitment and faithfulness. So when they sow and cultivate, they realize it's not easy to carry out their mission. Previously, as an ordinary churchgoer, people used to adjust to, you know, their needs. But now this Christian must adjust to others. Because, you know, this Christian's a worker now, a church worker. So despite trying their best, they often get upset when working with others who don't meet expectations. You know, this Christian, they say, you know, I've tried to do my best to work for God's kingdom. But it's not just working for God's kingdom. There's also relationships between your workmates or within other church workers. So even though this Christian has started to sow and cultivate the seeds of commitment and faithfulness, you end up seeing your evil within your heart. And sometimes people say that when they start putting in the effort of commitment and faithfulness, they see all of these sins and evil and think, oh, maybe I shouldn't work for God's kingdom. But that's not true. Through, you know, working for God's kingdom, you're able to see and discover the sin and the evil in your heart. So you didn't know before that you had these, you know, sinful attributes. They're not new sinful attributes from, you know, some random person. They're sinful attributes that you had in your heart but had just been hidden because you weren't in the right environment for that sin to kind of appear. So when you are a normal churchgoer or, you know, when you're just a beginner Christian, there are lots of sinful attributes that you just can't discover yet. Because you're only kind of living your Christian life for yourself. But when you live your Christian life for other people, when you start serving other people and work with other people for God's kingdom, then you end up finding, you know, these evil attributes. When you start being faithful for God's kingdom, that's not when it becomes difficult. It's when you start discovering the sin within you. You find, you know, the anger, the annoyance, the negative emotions in your heart that come with working with other people and serving other people. So feelings like disappointment, irritation, and discomfort, which aren't good, arise in the heart. So gradually the fullness in the heart fades and the desire to give up the mission appears. For this Christian, these emotions are the stones that must be removed from the heart field. The stones of discomfort and irritation stems from the larger stone of hatred. And of course, you know, the arrogance and the pride of your own ego is the bigger stone. But you've also got the stones of discomfort that come from it, that come from your own ego. So as the thought of giving up the mission arises due to difficulties, the stone of change of heart is revealed. Trying to obey the command to be faithful, you know, this Christian comes face to face with the untruth in their heart, the stone of heart, the stone of hatred. Now revealed, it's important to focus on removing that stone of hatred from the heart. Only then can God's commands to love and live in peace get planted in their heart field. So when you obey God's word to do and keep, that's when God's commands of don't do and cast off become more visible. And it gives you the ability, the aid to love and live in peace. This is when you can fully obey the command of do. So, you know, you're able to get rid of and cast off and keep God's commands. To focus on removing a stone means to put intentional and all sorts of effort to take it out. For example, you might specifically pray and be persistent in every prayer. Sometimes you acknowledge your sinful attributes. But there are times when even though you acknowledge the sinful attributes, that the sin doesn't always become visible in every situation. But in order for that sin to be visible, you need to not stop praying. Continuously, fervently pray and be persistent. Let's say you've got some annoyance and you're in the family and you get annoyed or you get, you know, you show temper or anger with family members or with your partner. When you pray persistently to get rid of the anger, the fighting, the temper and the annoyance. And when you persistently pray, you might think that you've gotten rid of all of these sinful attributes because you're cautious. You're more cautious when you pray. But you need to look more deep into your heart and think about why do you fight with your partner or why do you fight with your family? Why do you get annoyed or irritated? You know, because of what your partner does or what your family does. Is it because the other person doesn't listen to you? Is that why you get angry? And if it is, and if the reason that you get angry and irritated is because the other person doesn't listen to you, then you need to realize that this is true selfishness. It's pure, egotistical selfishness. Don't just, you know, think, oh, I shouldn't get angry, I shouldn't get irritated. But you need to find the reason as to why you get angry, why you get irritated. Of course, you know, there are people that just get angry for the sake of getting angry. Then that's something that you need to look back on and pray about as well. Don't just pray to God to get rid of anger and temper and irritation. You need to think about the why and look more deep into the stone. Let's say you've got a stone that's deeply embedded in the ground. Would you not get rid of the dirt surrounding the stone first? Do you need to reflect? Do you need to really focus and attack the stone of untruth and really look into ways to beat and break the stone? Think about the why. So instead of, you know, so for example, some people offer up offerings to God with prayer topics like, you know, getting rid of anger and getting rid of irritation. You turn it into a prayer topic with an offering to God. And this is having that attack to get rid of a specific stone of untruth. So instead of giving up the mission when it gets difficult, you must firmly hold on to it and diligently carry it out and transform into a gentle and humble worker. Through this process, you can naturally remove the stones of untruth and have the strength to be more faithful and become, you know, a church worker that's more desired before God. The sanctification that we want doesn't just happen straight away. It doesn't happen overnight. It's when we fervently pray. It's when we cry out and pray. It's when we, you know, have specific prayer topics that we offer up with God, that we give offerings to God. It's when we have specific prayers. That's when we can get rid of the stones in our hearts. And when the stones are removed, that's when you, it's like you feel calm, like everything's at peace. It's that feeling of calmness. So you need to look back on yourself and check how much effort do you put in order to be cultivated. You know, if this is not what you're doing, then you can't say that you are cultivating your heart field to the best of your ability. If you've got a stone deeply embedded in the heart and you look at it from the top and you only see the top part of the stone and you break only the top part of the stone, the rest of the stone is still there. So later on, you end up finding it again and you think, oh, what's this? It's because you haven't fully gotten rid of the stone from the deep roots of your heart. So you must be able to, you know, remove these stones of untruth. When you sow seeds, you can reveal the stones in your heart and then get rid of the stones in your heart. So law of sowing, a Christian receives grace from the message on the law of sowing and reaping and gets motivated by the teaching of reaping a lot when sowing more, whether in prayer, service, or material wealth. With a passionate heart, the Christian makes, you know, a resolution to pray and give offerings more. But along the way, they break their vow and fail to keep their commitments to God. This reveals that there is a stone of deceitfulness and greediness in the heart. This, you know, deceitfulness stems from a self-seeking heart, greed, and a lack of sincerity. It's important to remove the stone of deceitfulness from the heart. But more importantly, to remove the boulders of greed and lies. It's better not to make vows or resolutions than to make and not keep them. If you make a vow and keep it, it's a source of blessing. Psalm 15 verse 4, he swears to his own hurt and does not change. even if it's unfavorable, a vow must be fulfilled. Instead of being greedy from the beginning, it's wiser to start with what you can faithfully carry out before increasing your measure. As you continue, you'll develop a steadfast heart that doesn't change. Then the sprouts of the word will take root deeply. The sprouts will grow and bear fruit quickly. By practicing the truth, you can discover the evil within yourself and swiftly remove the stones of your heart. So when you cultivate the heart field, you know, don't just look at the casting off and the don't do's that God commands. You must also look at keeping and doing, you know, what God commands as well. Together, you must sow and cultivate together. So the more you do and keep, the more the don't do and the cast offs can become more visible. So that way you can break the stones of untruth and get rid of them a lot more easier. You know, to not have a change of heart. It's not just, you know, praying to not have a change of heart, but it's also putting in that action of not breaking your promises. So secondly, to cultivate a rocky heart, you must pray earnestly. When you discover a stone in your heart while practicing the word, you must grab and pray earnestly. When it rains on a field, the soil becomes soft. It becomes easier to remove stones. Through prayer, the heart softens as you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel 36:26. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put in a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. The new spirit refers to the Holy Spirit. When you pray and are filled with the Spirit, don't miss that moment to remove the stones of untruth from the heart. You know, in a space of grace, don't just receive the grace and finish it with, you know, I think I can be transformed. Of course, you receive grace, and the first thing that you need to do is to put in the action to do and keep God's word and to cast off and not do what God commands you not to do. Within that grace that you receive, you have that strength to abide by God's commands. So we must do accordingly. Where obedience was difficult before, now you can obey while the grace is fresh. If you do this once, twice, and so forth, then even the large stones deeply embedded in your heart will start to loosen and be pulled out. Unlike the path-like soil, the rocky field still receives grace and the fullness of the Holy Spirit, which makes this process possible. The untruths in the heart can never be removed by human effort alone. While it's important to put in your own effort, it's the addition of the grace and power given by God and the fullness of the Holy Spirit that allows you to cast off the stones, even for untruths that have firmly taken root as stone. There are also times when God pours out His grace in a special way. Times like divine healing meetings or summer retreats. When you long for and prepare well, abundant grace is poured out more than before. When serious illnesses unable to be treated by medicine are healed and problems get resolved, how could the power of transformation not happen? When God clothes us with special grace and power, seemingly impossible to remove sin can be quickly removed. It's like shattering a hard rock or pulling out a deeply embedded stone. Long-held hatreds melt away, allowing us to forgive. A person lost in worldly pleasure and unable to guard their heart loses interest in the world. They're transformed into a praying Christian who listens to the word. When the grace of God comes, even a field full of jagged stones can be cultivated and turned into fertile soil. The fire of prayer has never stopped in our church since its founding. It's why the Holy Spirit is always at work. Whenever you set your heart to pray, you can be clothed with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Another blessing is that we always have Daniel prayer meetings. It's easier to receive the power of prayer than when praying alone. Anyone can pray. It's never reserved only for those who are powerful or fully sanctified. God desires that His children come to Him all the more when lacking and in need. Psalm 103:14. For He knows our frame. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Like the verse, God knows what we must cast out from our heart fields. He also knows what we desire to cast out. Zechariah 10:1. Ask the Lord for rain in the season of the spring rain, from the Lord who makes the storm clouds, and He will give them showers of rain, grass in the field to everyone. God always desires to give more than what we ask. When we seek grace from God, He gives abundant grace like heavy rain. May you all pray to the good God and receive grace to cast off the stones in the heart. Thirdly, to cultivate the heart field, you must maintain the fullness of the Holy Spirit. After rain, it's easier to remove the stones when the ground has become soft. But if the ground hardens again, it becomes difficult to take the stones out. After fasting and praying with zeal to cultivate the heart, sometimes you stop halfway and turn to the world again. Then it becomes difficult to recover the former zeal. If the ground becomes wet and then dries, the stones can become more firmly embedded. So it's important to keep the field in a softened state. To maintain this softened state, you must not lose the fullness of the Holy Spirit. At times, people lose the fullness of the Spirit and stop the work of cultivation. If the work is stopped halfway, it can become more difficult to continue later on. For example, when cultivation ceases, the heart feels little to nothing despite hearing and seeing many truths, signs, and wonders. You know, new believers, new Christians that see these wonders and truths and signs, they think it's, you know, amazing. They think it's different. But other Christians that have lost the fullness of the Holy Spirit and stopped cultivation, they've started sinning back in the world, even though it might not be sin leading to death, they go back in the world and they start sinning and live a life just like a worldly person. Then this heart field that was softened from the rain end up hardening. And when it hardens, when you listen to the word, you don't receive the grace. So even though a new Christian ends up receiving grace, you don't. So, and when you look at, you know, God's wonders and power of manifestations of power and don't receive the grace, when you listen to God's words and don't receive the grace because of your hardened soil, then this is a big problem. You know, God must become your God. Other people's testimonies must turn into your faith. And but it's not like you're doubting or thinking that, you know, it's a lie. You know in your head, you know as knowledge base that, you know, it's right. But in your heart, there's no grace received. There's no emotion. You know, when you listen to testimonies, you don't even have the faith to receive healing is just like that. You know, there's nothing. There's nothing in your heart. It's just like, you know, Elisha's servant. Elisha's servant saw great works of power from Elisha, but ended up receiving, you know, curses from God. Despite, you know, seeing all of these works of power from Elisha, you know, Gehazi, that, you know, he ended up receiving leprosy and acted deceitfully. No matter the spiritual message, you brush it off, thinking that you already know or have heard it before. No matter the amazing signs and wonders, you say that you've seen it before and don't feel moved at all. This is a sign of the heart-filled hardening. So, you know, worse yet, you might accept the truth in your own evil and use the word to judge others. How can we maintain the fullness of the Holy Spirit? It's important to diligently obey the words received with grace and the guidance when full of the Holy Spirit. So when we looked at, you know, receiving fullness of the Holy Spirit, we looked at doing things. We looked at acting upon, you know, actions that pleases the Holy Spirit. And it's not difficult to please the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't get pleased by doing great things. You know, it starts from the little things. So don't misunderstand. This is not difficult. God leads each person according to the measure given to them. He doesn't guide us beyond our ability, but sometimes God does lead us beyond our measure. This is a special case where God purposely leads to give great blessings. Ordinarily, God guides us according to our ability through meditating on the word daily, praying, doing good deeds, and speaking with grace. These may seem small, but God's grace does not depart and continually fills us with the Spirit when we obey. So we can maintain that fullness of the Holy Spirit. So the fullness of the Holy Spirit received through prayer or through grace, we can continue and maintain it by doing these good deeds, by meditating on the Word, by praying. The difference between a person who is always full and joyful as opposed to someone who's not doesn't come from big things. It often comes from small things like your mindset or confession of the mouth. You know, small actions, small efforts. But there may be times when things don't go as planned when you try to obey the word. Even then, you must never be discouraged. The importance in maintaining the fullness of the Holy Spirit is not losing heart. The moment you lose heart, well, losing heart itself is fleshly thoughts. You know, not losing heart is relying on the Holy Spirit, is believing in God. If you happen to hesitate or slow down, you should press on with strength instead of getting discouraged. You know, you find that you've stopped, you've gotten discouraged, that's fine. Start from now. Don't leave it to tomorrow. If you don't give up and believe that your heart field can be cultivated by God's power, it'll be done accordingly. You will have good soil. God has given a heart field only to human beings. You know, through today's word, I hope you can look back on yourself and think about what kind of stones of untruth are embedded in your heart so that you can be transformed into a heart of good soil.
Hallelujah, our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses, go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu. Go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.